Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording from Wellspring Church in central Watford. You may have found us via our website, wellspring-church.org. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But even better, why not come to one of our services in one of our congregations? We would love to meet you and encourage you along your journey of faith. With that in mind, do know that we are praying for you, that as you listen to this recording, you'll be inspired, encouraged, challenged, given keys to live life to the full as Jesus intended, and to bring transformation with his amazing love to the people around you. God bless you.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here. It's great to be outside. I live nearby as well, which is brilliant. I live in Northwood, and I live with little people. And by that, I mean my children, not munchkins, to clarify. But when you live with little people, you sometimes get misunderstandings. We were out for a meal and our son, little Daniel, my son, was explaining to me that his favourite film is Return of the Jedi. Now, it's quite nice. We've got beyond the moment. We've cleansed our television of CBeebies and now we have children that watch stuff we quite like. And he was explaining how in Return of the Jedi, the nasty stormtroopers are killing the cute Ewok bears. And he says there's this Ewok bear that gets killed dead and this Ewok bear has an even cuter baby Ewok bear that realises his daddy has been killed by the stormtrooper. And the baby Ewok bear goes over to the daddy bear and he holds the daddy bear's leg and he starts to cry because he's so upset. I said to my dad, Danny, did you cry? He says, I don't cry. I'm British. At which point I pointed out he's kind of misunderstood the landscape. And you know what? The church misunderstands its place in society. We think it's a moment to shrink back. We think it's a moment to say that the world doesn't want us anymore. We think it's a moment to say that the agendas are different. I think the Lord wants to say to his church, it's time to step up, not to step back. So if you've got a Bible, would you turn it on? We're going to go to Acts 5. And I just want to talk to you for, I don't know, it's hot, so not too long, in 9 or 10 hours or so, about stepping up. Because I think the time has come for the church to be confident. And the church to say, do you know what? It's brilliant we're outside here, but we want to see the whole of Watford come to know Jesus. So verse 17 of Acts 5 says this. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people about this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported. We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. You know, I don't know if you're a Christian at all or if you've been going to church forever, but it's just three little things I wanted to share with you this morning. And the first is this. Our God, King Jesus, is all powerful. We forget this so often because we're used to it. But Jesus is all-powerful. He can do anything. You know, I'm a keen runner. I don't run too far, just 6 or 7 miles a time every other day. And I went on the little loosener this morning. And I wear Adidas running shoes. And their slogan is, impossible is nothing. Now, when you put this body into those running shoes, that proves every time to be false marketing. There is much this body can't do in those shoes. But with God, nothing's impossible. Amen. In this passage, they get into trouble because God's doing stuff. We so underestimate God. We make him small enough that we're comfortable with him. But in this passage, God's doing so much, the authorities can't help but miss it. I do not mind one bit if we get into trouble with Watford Council if it's because God's moving. Because this all-powerful God can do anything. Let me encourage you, if you know Jesus, he can do anything with your small offering. Even when we do stuff badly, he can use it. You know, my worst ever talk was 10 years ago. It was in North Wales. North Wales is a long way from anywhere. And I went all the way to North Wales. It was when I was working for Youth for Christ. It was a youth event. I've been promised this. There will be hundreds of teenagers there. I got there. It turns out I've got more fingers than there were teenagers. Then the problem was the churches had clubbed together to hire in a 10-foot-high stage. And because they'd paid for it, they insisted that I spoke from it. I'm already 6'3". So there I was, 16'3" in the air, towering above a tiny group of young people, preaching in a bad mood, not wanting to be there, but knowing I needed to. And back in the day, we used to work in what I called a ministry of envelopes. You'd get to the end of speaking and it'd give you an envelope with a gift towards your work. And I had this arrangement with the Lord, never open the envelope till you get home. Because don't decide if it's gone well based on the zeros on the check. Decide if it's gone well based on a talk with Jesus. So all the way home from North Wales, the Lord and I talked about it, decided it had been a complete failure. I got home, opened the envelope, out filled a gift. £5 book token. You can't put that in a petrol tank, right? So I paid for the privilege of my worst day. Then last year I was preaching in Stoke. And this lad, he's about 25, he comes up to me afterwards. He says, do you remember that youth event when there was that huge stage and no young people and it was really terrible? I'm thinking, I remember it, mate. You want some, do you? He says, I gave my life to Jesus that night. I said, how? And he said, 3 weeks ago, I did my first youth mission. I'm a youth worker now. 32 young lads gave their lives to Jesus. It only takes one Samaritan woman to get their village. Friends, God is so powerful, he could transform Watford in a minute. We need to start realizing that we are on the side of King Jesus. But secondly, from the passage, you know, Christianity can't be swept away. You know, we're living in a time when everyone says, you know, post-truth is what matters and fake news, when actually that's a load of garbage, it's just lying. But we've got to get realistic. We're living in a time when people are saying the church is on the back foot, there's no hope for it. The reality is, the more pressure you put the church under, the faster it grows. You can't get rid of Christianity. Yeah, come on. You get rid of the odd Christian, but you can't get rid of Christianity. Emperor Nero used to dip the early disciples in pitch, use them as human candles in his garden, didn't get rid of Christianity. The so-called Islamic State doesn't get rid of Christianity. The fastest growing church in the world is in Iran. You can't get rid of it. But in the passage, what they've tried to do is they think, if we bang up the Christians, we'll get rid of it. Now you can imagine the two poor prison guards. Suddenly a load of apostles are thrown into the jail and it's locked up. Those guards and then the captive audience for all those apostles. You see, life's about perspective. When David fights Goliath, he's got two choices. He's so big he's going to kill me, or he's so big there's no way I'm going to miss. And we've got to start seeing things differently. And what they do is they cage up the disciples thinking that's how we'll get rid of it. But the Bible's amazing. If anyone here thinks the Bible's boring, you either haven't read it. No, actually, you just haven't read it. Because it's amazing. Yeah. You know, and it's the most visually interesting book you could see. You know, when Lazarus gets raised to life, when Jesus raises Lazarus to life, I realized why he says, Lazarus, come out. When I went to Lazarus's tomb, there's 15 beds in that tomb. If Jesus just said, come out, 15 dead people had all walked out at once. Scooby-Doo moment with 15 corpses all coming out at once. Isn't it lucky Lazarus wasn't a common name? Can you imagine if there'd been three of them and Jesus says, not you, sunshine, not you, it's that one we want. The Bible's so visual. And in this passage, you've got an amazing moment. Because the people think, we'll lock up the Christians, we'll deal with the problem. But during the night, an angel of the Lord comes along, walks past the guards, opens the door, lets them out, and then, here's the fun bit, locks it up again. So in the morning, no one knows what's happened. Then says to the apostles, by the way, crack on, time to preach again. We've got to get more confident in the fact that even if a few Christians get attacked for a few different things, and that's awful when it happens, Christianity will not be swept away at any point. We have confidence in the living Jesus. And we've got to live differently because we know the end of the story, right? When I was 16, the film Titanic came out, and I went on a terrible first date with someone I never went on a date with again. And 3.5 hours into the cinema, the boat sank. I knew that before I went. When you know the end of the story, it should change how you live in the middle. Now let me encourage you. However many bad things happen between now and the end of time, However many wars there are, rumours of wars, however many people are exploited, however many famines there are, however many difficulties there are, however many acts of terror there are, however many hard stuff happens, equally, however many good stuff happens, however many celebrations there are, however many World Cups England win, however many wonderful things happen, however many people meet the living Jesus, however many people liberated from slavery, however much good, however much bad, the end of the story remains the same. Jesus wins. And the church has got to start acting like it believes that. Because at the moment, I'm worried that we believe everyone else is going to win. We know the end of the story. That changes how you live in the middle. It's why the fastest growing church in the world's in Iran. Do you believe that? That's amazing, isn't it? In Iran, the church is just exploding. People can't stop it. Why? Because Christianity can't be swept away. God is all powerful. And finally, as the people of God, we're compelled to share. The minute they're let out of the prison, they're told, go and share the gospel again. I think sometimes the church is on mute. We don't have to lead everyone to a decision for Jesus every time, but we do need to start talking about him. Try name dropping Jesus tomorrow. Try mentioning him where you are, because there's this then incredible moment where the Sanhedrin gather. Now, the Sanhedrin are the Jewish council. They're proper loaded. They're all blokes, and they are proper, proper brainy. Right? Like genius brainy. I'm from a family of geniuses. I genuinely am. I'm one of four children. The other three are absolutely incredibly intelligent. I didn't get the brains. I got the outrageous good looks. But when you grew up around these siblings who are proper clever, proper, proper clever, do you know what I've often found? And I've certainly found with my siblings? No common sense. It's almost like one part of the brain is so inflated that the other part's just absent. And I imagine this with the Sanhedrin. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall. The cleverest people they could find gather in this big circle. Smartly dressed, loaded, huge brains. They send for the apostles. The person comes back. They're not there. They say, where are they? Dunno. Was the door open? No. Were the bars broken? No. What's happened? Dunno. And I'd love to be there as these mega brains, these sort of solar system of brains sit in this circle trying to work out what's happened. Then someone looks out the window and says, surprise! What? They're out there. What are they doing? What we put them in prison for? Why? Because when this Jesus message gets in your guts, it pours out of you. And we have done something wrong in the church. We've made mission and evangelism a professional thing. It's not a professional thing. We've made it a personality type. A larger-than-life, big character, I can't imagine the type, who kind of gives it some for Jesus, and we think, they'll do it, we won't do it. The whole church is needed to reach the whole world. We've got to get serious about this. Everyone called to witness. Because I'll let you into a secret. I can be a bit much for some people. I can. The Met Line didn't know what hit it when I moved to Northwood 3 years ago. I get on the Met Line in a rush hour, look for the most packed tube carriage. Then you look for someone reading something spiritual and bang, in you go, let's start a conversation. Or sometimes I get on with my friend and we'll go into the most packed bit of the train, stand in someone's armpit and talk as loudly as we can about Jesus. Because someone will show an interest and then boom, divide and conquer. Most people aren't like that. My friend Pastor Agu, who runs the Redeemed Christian Church of God, had me come and speak to his 1,500 pastors. I was the only white person in the room. He says, this is my friend Gavin. He has the wrong personality for his nationality. We need to move beyond personality and say, whoever you are, if you love Jesus, you're either a missionary or an imposter. And let's not be imposters. Let's reach people. You know, people say to me, why are you so passionate about this? And it seems strange to me. Because I think the number one thing in my life that I am here to do is to see other people find the unbelievable hope in Jesus. Because the gospel's incredible, but we've got bored of it. I meet young people and I say, what's Jesus ever done for you? And they're like, he died once. Get excited about the message. The gospel message is amazing. I remember a few years ago when my daughter Amelie bit my son Daniel on the head. Now, I've had children at a time when you can't punish them how you instinctively feel like you want to. You have to be quite creative. So we had the naughty step, right? Where you get sent to the step for a minute for every year you've been alive and you sit there in silence. I just don't understand how it's a punishment. If I had 38 minutes on a step in silence, frankly, that would be a spiritual retreat. And Amelie goes to the step, and a few minutes later, I go to see her. And she's really crying. I say, sweetheart, what's wrong? She says, does Jesus have to die again now? I said, no, why? She says, I've been naughty again. So I said, no, he died once and for all. I pushed hard for a decision. I didn't get one, but you know, I tried. But through the eyes of children, you see again, the gospel message is amazing. The other moment that showed me this was, I'm kind of from the Christian mafia, if I'm honest. My old man started something called Spring Harvest, and my granddad started Tear Fund. I really need a good idea, and if you can help me, please help me soon. But my granddad was a great man, and he preached every Sunday till he was 85. Then he decided to take what he called early retirement. Now, my granddad spoke all the biblical languages. He's written more books than most of us will read. For me, he knew everything there was to know. Yet his body started breaking at 85. He had four or five strokes over the next 5 years, and it got to the point that in his early 90s, he sat in a chair sleeping for 20 hours a day. Body didn't work, his mind still worked, but only just, and only for 30 seconds at a time when he had the energy for it to work. His terrible sense of humour still worked, though. I was round for Sunday lunch once, and my grandma was talking about the negative effect that witchcraft was having on the church in Britain. My granddad was asleep. After 2 hours, he woke up, he said, I know all about witches, having lived with one for 60 years. He then went back to sleep. That was all I got out of him on that whole trip. And it was their diamond wedding anniversary, 60 years of marriage being celebrated in public. The great and the good of their age group all gathered in this large auditorium to celebrate what this couple had done. You know, in ministry, you're often underpaid and over-criticized. So to have a moment like that of thanks was amazing. And what happened is person after person got up to pay tribute to this couple. Their names were Gilbert and Connie Kirby, my grandparents, to say, you've been amazing. The Bible translator, the church planter, the businessman, the Bible college principal, person after person paid tribute to them. And you know what? At first it was fun. After 3 hours, we'd all had enough. Apart from my granddad, who'd slept the whole time. And then they did the bit that everyone got really excited about. It's the final bit. A telegram was read out that had been sent in from Sir Cliff Richard. And it said that Gilbert and Connie Kirby have been the most significant spiritual influences of anyone on his life. At this moment, the place went mad. There were blue rinse wigs flying, false teeth coming out of mouths, Zimmer frames going over the balcony. Everyone was getting really excited. Apart from my granddad, who was having a kip. My nan got up to thank everyone for coming. Thanks for coming. We couldn't have done this without you. It wouldn't have been possible. We could never have done it. We're so grateful. At this point, something dangerous happened. My granddad woke up, and he showed that his 30 seconds of breath were upon him. So he got wheeled up, and he was given the microphone. He said, I'm not going to thank any of you for coming. I'm going to just, in case anyone here doesn't know Jesus, I need to tell you something. Because of all the wrong stuff you've done, because of all the areas in which you've messed up, Jesus, who is God, who threw the stars into space, needed to come to the earth that you might know what it is to know life in all its fullness. So Jesus left heaven, he came to earth, and he walked the earth giving food to the hungry, health to the sick, and life to the dead. But then he died upon a cross, taking every wrong thing upon himself you've ever done, ever would do, ever could do, ever might do, that you needn't be punished but could be liberated from your brokenness and know life in all its fullness now and life in all its fullness forever. And they threw him in a grave, and 3 days after they'd thrown him in a grave, the people went to the grave. There was no body there because my Jesus defeated death. Because for Jesus to be God, he has to be alive. And he defeated death that you and I might know life in all its fullness now and life in all its abundance in eternity forever. And he said, I just didn't want to not have the opportunity to say, if anyone here doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their personal Lord and Saviour, who doesn't know what it is to live and know life in all its fullness, just invite you, if you don't, to stand. Now, in that moment, six people stood. No one believed there were any non-Christians in the building. And at a moment, as the six people stood, my granddad fell asleep. And someone came and wheeled him off, and someone else came on to pray the prayer welcoming those six new lives into the kingdom. Why is that so significant to me? I tell you, firstly, people tell me I'm going to grow out of believing that revival is coming to the UK, or grow out of believing that the most single most important thing is the declaration of the gospel of Jesus with our hands, our lives, and our hearts, and our mouths. But also, he died 3 months later. He'd used the microphone thousands of times, but the last time he did was that time. And what my granddad showed me was that the all-powerful God could use a 92-year-old man with 30 seconds of breath. What my grandpa showed me that day was that beyond himself, now that he's gone to be with Jesus, Christianity in this land will not be swept away, but will keep growing in the lives of those he invested in. And what it showed me was there's never an excuse for not being a witness to Jesus. God doesn't have grandchildren, and there's no retirement in the kingdom. So we all need to open our mouths that others might know. that hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Let's pray, shall we? So we'll just close our eyes for a moment. But before I pray, I know lots of us go to the church, maybe some of us don't, but it just feels really right that to give an opportunity, if anyone here does not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Saviour, you don't know what it is to know life in all its fullness, you don't know what it is to live with Jesus, you know Jesus' greatest promise in the Word of God is that He will be with you. It's not that everything will be perfect, it's that He'll be with you. But I just wonder if there's anyone here today who doesn't know Jesus as their personal Saviour. Or maybe you're not sure. If you're not sure, then you're not a Christian. Maybe this morning is your moment to choose to follow Jesus, to choose to surrender your life to the living Jesus. But also, as I drove here, I just had this strange image in my head that a few of us are playing charades with Jesus. And by that, I said, Lord, what do you mean? And I just had this real sense that there's a few people from the Wellspring family where you don't deny what you believe, but you're just not living it. You're just not living it. Your Bible reading's non-existent. Your prayer life's on the floor. Your walk with Jesus, you're just not living it. When I worked with young people, we used to often give them an opportunity to recommit their lives to Jesus. We almost assume with adults there's never a need. But I just felt on the way over here, there's a few people for whom it might be a moment to recommit your life to Jesus. Not to say you've doubted this stuff, but to say you've not been living it. And you want to dust yourself down, start again, and throw yourself back into your relationship with Jesus with abundance. If either of those are you, everyone's eyes are shut. I just need to know who I'm praying for. But either for the first time or a recommitment this morning, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, could you just put your hand up where you are, if that's you today? That's great. There's a couple of hands up. It's quite hard to see. I wonder if you could be outrageously brave and just stand for me if that's you today, just so I can see who I'm praying for, if it's you this morning. And perhaps it might help if you've not stood to respond, if you could sit down for a moment so we could just see who I'm praying for. No one else is watching you. I just want to know who I'm praying for. And of those couple of people who've stood, if it's a first-time decision to follow Jesus, can you just put your hand up so I know I'm praying for that? If it's first time, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Lord Jesus, we want to just thank you for those two or three folks for whom this morning's been a really significant moment. We just want to pray, Lord, that you would break through in power and strength. We want to ask, Lord, that life would not be the same after today. And we want them to know, Lord, that their sins are truly forgiven, they are set free by you, and they can now enjoy life in all its fullness with you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that they would know there's a party going on in heaven that we're invited to join in with. And we celebrate with them, and we celebrate with you. Just wonder if you did stand, we'd love to pray with you. There's a tent just over here. People's eyes are still shut. They're not looking. But if you could just rush over to this tent over here, someone would love to meet you to pray with you. There are a couple of others, I think. Don't miss the chance. If it's a recommitment too, don't miss the chance to make your way over there to that tent. And then, can we do one more thing? Is that possible? I just wondered if some of those of us that love the Lord would love to be given greater confidence and greater opportunity to be a witness to Jesus. We're all witnesses. You don't have to use the evangelist word if you don't like that, but we're all witnesses. And I wonder if as I spoke, you were thinking, do you know what? I'd love the Lord to give me greater confidence. I'd love for a greater anointing of the Spirit to help me be a witness. I'd love to see my workplace, my street, my context totally turned around for Jesus. If that's you and you're able, would you just stand where you are so I could just see what I'm praying for? If you'd love God to give you greater confidence to be a more effective witness for Him. That's wonderful. What we're going to do as well, we're going to do a prayer of two halves, seeing as it's World Cup final day. I'm not here next week. And if we mean business here about witnessing to whose we are, the world says who you are is the most important thing. Whose you are is, we're children of the living God. If we mean business, Wellspring, then this is a gear change for you as a church. Therefore, it's inappropriate for the person who's not here next week to do all of the praying with that. So I'll invite Helen up in a minute to see the second half of the prayer. I'm going to pray that God to bless what he's doing, but you almost need a commissioning prayer to see our streets, our workplaces, our hobbies, our schools, our communities transformed for Jesus. So let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the saving grace we've experienced in you. But Lord, we do not want this greatest news ever to just be kept to ourselves. We're desperate to see others encounter you. And Lord Jesus, I just want to pray that Wellspring would be known as somewhere with hopeful good news that is shared with others. I pray for those people, Lord, who frankly need to show other people that they love you, need to tell other people they follow you. I pray that would be easy. I pray, Lord Jesus, for streets to be won for you. I pray for workplaces to be transformed, for school playgrounds to fall on their knees before you, the living Jesus. I pray for Watford to see something so significant that would then impact the nation, Lord. But Lord, I also pray very simply for an absolute open goal of an opportunity for everyone stood to share your message this week. An opportunity so obvious and so gaping that even if we wanted to avoid it, we couldn't. And I pray, Lord, that we would take that opportunity for you and then continue to take those opportunities. That witnessing would be like a muscle. It would be so natural to us. And I pray that Wellspring would have problems with logistics because too many people join the family.
Amen. Let's keep praying. Father, I thank you that you've called us for this congregation to be at the postcode of WD172AH for a reason. Because you love this community. And Lord, I pray that when we gather, we will be the type of people who will love into this community. The way we come, the way we talk, the way we minister, the way we park, the way we take every opportunity to love our neighbours. But Lord, I thank you that everybody here has their own postcode. I thank you that everybody is staying in a place and you have positioned us with purpose. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you will fill us afresh to recognize you've given us the keys to our front door, not because of what we can do in the sense of if we hide in our homes, but because of who you've positioned us with, who you've positioned us with opposite, and our neighbors, who comes to our door to just talk to people in that home. You've positioned us for a purpose. Lord, some of us are privileged enough to be young enough to go to school. Lord, I thank you for our young people who love you. Lord, I pray that you will give them courage in their relationship with you to share their best friend of you with their other mates in school. Lord, I thank you that you've given many people the privilege of work. Father, would we recognize that our work is never just about paying the bills? And never just about getting another promotion or another opportunity, but that you position us next to people who you want to reveal yourself to, and you want to do that through us, with our skin on you, that we would represent you into our workplaces. Lord, I pray that tomorrow, when Wellspring Church scatters into schools, into colleges, onto holidays, into workplaces, that we would do so, so full of your Holy Spirit, that we spill you when we're bumped, when we're knocked, when we talk. That when people move away from us, they will know, I've just met with somebody bigger than that person. I've just met with Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you've gathered us together for a reason, so that you will scatter us on purpose. I thank you you've given us the heart to see communities transformed with the love of God. Lord, help us be a church that doesn't delegate that, that doesn't delegate it upwards or sideways, that doesn't delegate it to payroll, but that owns our part. Help us need to plant another congregation, Lord. Help us need to have another service, Lord. Help us need to get passionate about extending the building because we need more spaces for the people you're calling through our lives, for our friends, for our family, to join the winning team. Help us to not think someone else is going to do this, but that you've positioned us. Lord, bring more people, help us make space. And bring more people and help us make more space for your glory. that your name will be lifted high, and that in Watford, you are Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to this recording. We hope it's encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've been aware of the voice of God and the presence of Jesus with you wherever you've been listening to this recording. Hey, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life and how he's speaking to you that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just email admin@wellspring-church.org. Do get in touch. We can't wait to hear from you. And may God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, Amen.